Again, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be learning together Dira Yomim Beis Perek Lamed, the 30th chapter of the book of Dira Yomim. And our chapter is talking about the Pesach of Yechizkiyahu HaMelech. It is 27 psukim long, and there is no parallel parasha found in Nach. It is not to be confused with, in later Melachim Beis, the Pesach brought by Yoshiyahu HaMelech. That's in a few years to come. This is the Pesach, the Korban Pesach, brought by Yechizkiyahu HaMelech, and we're going to be focusing on that. It is worthwhile not just remembering that in Divrei Hayamim, his name is mainly Yechizkiyahu, so we're going to keep with that while learning Divrei Hayamim, although he is known as Chizkiyah or Chizkiyahu in other Sfarim. Let's start learning. The first 12 psukim is a proposition of Yechizkiyahu now makes these people. So what happens? He sends out letters, and he decides to send to all of Yehuda, all of Israel, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, to join them to come to the Beis Hashem, to the house of the Mikdash, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Pesach, to make the Korban Pesach. And he consults with all the people, the Sarov and the Kahal, and he wants to make it B'Chodesh HaSheni, on the second month. He wants to make the Korban Pesach in the second month of the year. Why? Because at this point in time, the Kohanim are not ready, they're not pure, the people aren't in Yerushalayim, nobody's ready for this. So everybody agreed, and they thought this was a good idea, and they sent out these invitations to make the Pesach. Why? Most people did not do this as it was written. We'll see what that means in just a second. And he sends out these letters to Yehuda, to Israel, to all over, and basically said, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, commanded us to do this Pesach, and you have all sinned. You've followed in the ways, not like the patriarchs, you followed like the kings of Ashur. Don't be like your fathers who were misled, and ultimately come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't be stubborn. And that is the way that we will be able to atone from the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu against us, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will offer us mercy if we come to the Beis HaMikdash. And it describes how the messengers went all over Yehuda and Israel, and unfortunately in the area of Ephraim and Asher and Zvulun, the people were making fun of the messengers. However, but there were people from the areas of Asher, Manasseh and Zvulun who did become humble and did come up to Yerushalayim, and the people of Yehuda did come to Yerushalayim. So a few basic questions in this over here. And first of all, you see something beautiful, and that is that the north and the south are working together. How is this true? So Rashi says, yes, in fact, remember, Yechizkiyahu's first year, which is where we are right now, is the 6 years before the full exile of the north. The north is in the process of being exiled. Some of the northern and eastern tribes have been exiled already, but not everybody, and that's why this is possible. The Da'at Mikra points out that there's a tradition in Chazal that during the times of the last king of the north of Israel, Hoshea ben Elah, he opened up the borders, allowing people to make the Aliyah Regal, the pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, which is why Yechizkiyahu is making this appeal as well. Okay, so let's look at this over here. He says the reason why this needs to happen is because of impurity. We saw that they were to spend the first half of the month cleaning and purifying. But he also says because the people weren't here. The people not known as Safa. What does that mean? Rashi says, well, as we saw, it was a rather humble crowd. It was a small crowd. Yechizkiyahu wants to bring all of Israel together. So it's not going to be enough just to have that small crowd. Now, why did some of the north reject this idea? Why were they making fun of the messengers? The Malbim says that at this point in time, they had the freedom from it. They had the possibility of making the pilgrimage, but they still weren't interested in submitting themselves after all these centuries to the shrine, to the Mikdash in the south. And this ultimately sealed their din. This was when the Gzar din for these people who ignored Yechizkiyahu's message ultimately got sealed. Now, the most basic question in this is, what is Yechizkiyahu doing making a Korban Pesach in the Chodesh HaSheni, the second month? The first month of the year ostensibly is Nisan, which is when it should be brought. How could he be bringing it in the second month? So possibility number one is, and this is the most predominant view, is that he made Nisan into Adar B'Sheni. What he did was he added an extra month of the year, even though he'd already technically finished the year. So thereby, the month that you really think is Nisan, which should be when we bring in the Pesach, which is right now, it is actually Adar Beis, and therefore we're going to now have a month before we need to bring the Korban Pesach, which gives us enough time for that celebration. That's possibility number one. Another possibility, and just worthwhile, some of the Forshim entertain this, is maybe the Chodesh HaRishon and the Chodesh HaSheni refers to, in fact, his first year in rule, his first month in rule, and his second month in rule, not the months of the year, so it's not referring to Nisan as well. That's another possibility. And the third possibility is that he's pushing them all to Pesach Sheni, to Iyar, when it will be brought. Those are, we'll call it, possibilities that are out there. The first of the possibilities is the one that's adopted by the Gemara, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Beis, and the Gemara in Brachos, talks about this at great length and assumes that really what's going on over here is he is what's called Ma'aber Nisan B'Nisan, which means he added an extra month when he was already in Nisan. Why did he need to do this? So the Yerushalmi Psachim in Perek Tes Halacha Aleph explains that because of the impurity of Avodah Zarah, and that would not allow them to bring the Korban Pesach. However, there's another possibility that it's because of the Tumas Mace, because of the regular Tumah, the regular impurity which was to be found at the time. And in that case, it's more questionable as to whether he was allowed to be Ma'aber to add this extra month or not. Why was it that he couldn't just push everybody to Pesach Sheni? So the Ralbag addresses this and says, what meaning, why isn't this that you just put certainly saying them to the 14th of Iyar and say, everybody bring the Korban Pesach then? So Ralbag says, that's not a possibility because that's Pesach Sheni is only for individuals, not for the whole community. Here, the entire community is in disarray. The entire community is in such a state. You need to actually have it in Nisan. You can't use Pesach Sheni for it. Interestingly enough, the Mishnah in Psachim, at the end of the fourth perek, tells us that this is one of the things that he did, one of the three things that Yechizkiah HaMelech did, and the sages disapproved of him. And that is Iber Nisan ben Nisan. He added a month of Nisan into while it was already Nisan. Why did they disapprove of this? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin points out one possibility is that once Nisan begins, meaning I have the possibility as a Sanhedrin to change the year and add an extra month while it is still the last year. But once it becomes the new year, once I've entered into Nisan, I can't now retroactively add a month. That's one possibility. The Malbim points out, another aspect of the problem over here, why it was disapproved of, was if we're talking about Tumas Mace, which means, say, regular impurity, then in this case, Tuma Hutra Bet Sibur, that really a community could actually bring the Korban Pesach in a state of impurity because most of the community were, in fact, impure. Therefore, did not warrant him pushing off and adding an extra month of the year to do such. What the actual moment of a dispute or the specific idea of dispute over here, the Malbim suggests, is that because he believed that if he'd make Pesach right now in this month of Nisan and not add a month, he believed that only a small amount of people were really ready to come out. And if there would be such a small amount of people, it wouldn't be Tuma Hutra Bet Zibor because most of the Zibor weren't there, and therefore he had no choice but to push off Nisan for a month. However, the Chachamim, who disagreed with him, felt that Tuma Hutra Bet Zibor is measured by the Zibor who arrives, the community arrives in the Beis Hamikdash, not the entire census across the land, even if they are not present. That's just another way of looking at this disagreement. Let's see what actually happens over here. So in Psukim Yud Gimel to Chaf Aleph, we hear about the fact that everybody does come to Yerushalayim, an incredible crowd comes to Yerushalayim, and they destroy the altars and all the bad stuff that were left beforehand for all kinds of idol worship. They burn them in the Valley of Kidron, and that on the 14th of the month they shecht the Korban Pesach, and the Leviim are working and the Kohanim are working. They're doing all the avodas necessary for the Korban Pesach. And it's a very beautiful description over here. It describes that, unfortunately, many of the people from Ephraim and Manasseh and Yisachar and Zevulun, who had come, who did accept the invitation to the Beis HaMikdash for the first time in centuries, did eat it in a state of impurity. And Yechizkiel prayed for them to say, saying, Hashem, Hatov Yechaper Ba'ad, may Hashem please atone for you, because they really want to do the right thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds by Yirpah, and he heals the people as well. It's a very beautiful description of the 7-day festival. Now, why is it that, what does it mean that the northerners were impure? So the Mesudas points out that they were incorrect. They'd received the invitation. They didn't know all the halachas. They came down to Yerushalayim, but by the meantime, there wasn't enough time, so they ate the Korban Pesach in impurity, which is a great sin. It would be a chiyuv kares, excommunication. But Yechizkiel davens to Hashem and says, look, their heart's in the right place at the same time as well. Vedad Mekrai points out out it could also be that this was another group it's referring to who said, no, we don't listen to what the king has to say. You want to add an extra month? No, we will eat it in the Nisan, which is the Nisan. So they disagreed with the king's view of things, and they already ate it a month earlier in a state of impurity because they believed Tumahot Rebet Zebu. That's another possibility of how to read these Pesukim. Who is he praying for? So the most basic idea is he's praying for these people who ate the Korban Pesach in impurity, even though they didn't listen to him. But another possibility, as the Malbim points out, quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin, is praying for himself, the fact that he added this extra month of Nisan, which was not deemed as appropriate by the Chachamim as well. What does it mean by Yirpa Esami, healed the people? They weren't in a physical state of ailment. So the Radak points out it means atonement. He gave them atonement. Finally, the parak closes from Sukkim Chav Beis to Chav Zayin, where Yechizkiyahu speaks to the Levim, and he gives them this beautiful description talking about how they did everything the very best they possibly can, and he suggested to make another 7-day festival. And this is going to be a time where thousands of korbanos are brought. It describes all the thousands of korbanos, and it describes that this is such a beautiful moment, or even Geirim HaBoim Eretz Yisrael, there were converts from the nations around who came at this time, and there was a great simcha in Yerushalayim. Ki mimei Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael lo kozois b'Yerushalayim. There was not such a simcha from the times of Shlomo Melech. Why are they adding an extra few 7 days? Yes, the Ralbag explains, because during the first 7 days of Pesach, those 7 days were during the process of atonement of sin. Now after Pesach they have a clean slate, so now let's celebrate on a clean slate. What does it mean that there never been a Korban Pesach like this from the times of Shlomo Melech? Nobody did a Korban Pesach. So all the Mefarshim say, of course they did a Korban Pesach, but there had never been such simcha together from the times of Shlomo Melech. That's what Rashi says. The Ralbag says there had never been a 14-day celebration since the times of Shlomo Melech, when there was a 7-day Sukkos and a 7-day celebration preceding that. So this 14-day celebration had not been done since the times of Shlomo. And the Malbim explained it's not been since the times of Shlomo Melech that there'd been unity around the Korban Pesach, that the north and the south came to Yerushalayim to bring the Korban Pesach. And this really is a watershed moment in the history of the nation of Israel. A very powerful, very uplifting moment. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.